Hey, this is Joe Campbell from New Jersey Content Creators, and you're listening to Trenton Waves, Trenton's number one podcast.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
You know what I'm doing?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
Because I can see you.
It feels so good.
I'm so uncomfortable.
I'm scratching my neck with a back scratcher pen combo.
It's a back scratcher.
It's so good.
And a pen.
Oh, my God.
I think that's the best Christmas present you're going to get this year.
I don't know how this sounds podcast here, and I don't care. Because now I'm scratching the back of my head.
He really is.
It's so good. Excuse me. I'll introduce
There's
you.
A third voice.
I know. It's like they always feel like they can come into our world. What the heck is that? Like, do you know Erin Fryer by any chance?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, you sound like you do. So I got this back scratcher / pen. Not only that, but I also got a metal straw.
We got a bunch of stuff.
I got a keychain. We got bike reflectors,
cups,
flashlights, calendars, chat. I'll tell them what we got.
You know,
she's like, and she's never done a podcast before. I'm so nervous. Yeah, really.
As a public speaker.
Imagine if you weren't nervous. It's like running the show. You're on a dynamic microphone. Just keep that in mind. I'm pointing with my back scratcher. I feel like very powerful with this. Anyway, podcastia, if you haven't already guessed, because that would be some awesome guess if they guessed who the guest was today.
Yeah.
We are sitting with an employee of Mercer Council. That's right, Mercer Council. The one, the only, Ruth Delpino is here with us. Feeling like Oprah whenever.
I
kind of
wish I brought my back scratcher as well, just so we could all have it together.
No, yeah, well, maybe that's good. Maybe that's
I feel
good.
It's a little better that
because
way.
The video would be very disturbing to watch.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just be like with pens and back scratchers the whole time.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm establishing meetings all the time, networking, communicating, speaking. More than 75% of my job is speaking.
Really?
Yeah.
Public speaking? Like
yeah,
in front
public
of large
speaking.
Groups.
Yeah, and in front of large groups because I teach a lot of classes. I do a lot of different things, and I'm really just in the community. So I'm kind of what they call a community educator or a community / prevention educator.
Have any of your appointments where you go and speak, have any of them been as highbrow as this one?
So highbrow with a back scratcher.
Yes.
There are a lot of times, there was actually one meeting that I went to recently. It was the Capital City Community Coalition, and it's the Four C's at Friendship Baptist Church on Perry Street.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people there, they had the superintendents of all the Trenton public schools. They had a bunch of just a lot of like established people in the Trenton community. So it's a little bit different going there and then coming here and being on a podcast.
Sure.
Well, before we get too far, why don't you explain what Mercer Council is?
Thank you.
Yes. So I sort of said, say Mercer Council, because Mercer Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse is a bit of a mouthful. So what I do specifically is it's the parent company to the company that I work with, which is the Trenton Municipal Alliance Council. And I'm the Trenton Municipal Alliance Coordinator. So I'm basically in charge of any prevention education in Trenton. I reach every community, the Hispanic community, high school kids, middle school kids, anywhere in between preschool. I do parenting programs. I sort of reach every sort of strata of the socioeconomic status.
Well, when you say you reach them, what's your message?
So the message really is be as mindful as you can with what you put in your body.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so obviously it deals with drugs and any sort of substance use, but really it's about holding yourself accountable and making sure that you are the person that says yes and says no, and there's nothing else besides that influencing you.
But how do you do that if the person already doesn't feel like they have any worth at all? I mean, how do you, why would they even care about holding themselves responsible or even accountable?
I think that's a really good point. And sort of the socialization of it is also that we are a council on drug abuse and alcoholism, but we have programs that deal with mental health. We work alongside community partners that work with mental health initiatives. And a lot of the time, wellness fairs, I've sat alongside yoga instructors and done my tabling activity. You know,
really?
It's just making sure that people around you are, like, it's a holistic approach. It's not just saying no. It's not just saying yes. It's saying, all right, you're a person. Let's see how you interact with your own community and have almost a personalized plan or a personalized action that you can do to make sure that you're doing what you need to for yourself.
You Italian?
Can you tell?
Yeah, your hands are going haywire. That's what my hands flail around. Wow.
My dad just took the genetic test on 23andMe, and he was fascinated by the fact that we were Sicilian, but we were like 0.07% Sicilian. And he's like, we're Italian,
that counts.
It matters.
That
hey,
counts.
My wife is 6% Scottish.
I'm like, yeah.
She might as well be 100%.
I'm British.
Yeah.
My mom is too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
6%.
It matters.
It does.
Just as we said before, it matters.
When she got those results, she started screaming.
I love everything English, everything British, so I'm like, I know I have some British in me. Because my mom is from Galicia in Spain.
Gotcha.
And they say that that's like one of the Celtic tribes. And it's interesting because when you look at some of their music and their native dances, they wear kilts and they play bagpipes. And it's Spanish. So
that is so cool.
There's some kind of connection. And so then when I got the results, I'm like, I told you.
I'm sure it was a really big moment in your household.
She's running around the house with the page. Going, it counts! It counts! I'm 22% Middle Eastern.
I know. I know.
That's pretty fascinating.
I thought it was Italian. What do I know?
Well, again, it's that area of the world. It's the Mediterranean Sea. It's...
Yeah, but Middle East, I mean, okay, Scottish, okay, you know what that means. But Middle Eastern, what does that even mean?
Well, it
sounds so generic.
Think
you
can
say Scottish, that's cool.
That's like Lebanon, Syria.
Lebanon, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan.
Israel.
A lot of places.
I was an international relations major, so that's
awesome. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
How old are you?
24.
And what?
Wow.
So what haven't you done now?
Written a symphony, which is on my next bucket list.
It's on your list. Get her with, hook her up with Bernard.
Wait. And writing a cookbook, which I'm on the way to doing.
So. Which, what kind of food? Peruvian?
Okay. Actually, it talks about the integration of diasporas and populations that travel from different countries into a host country and how it sort of mixes in the local cuisine and
I
how
love that.
It affects policy migration. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
See? I asked for one question. You're Italian.
Wait, dang it. I put it on the podcast and now everyone's going to know about
Everyone's going to know. Now they're going to know.
You better write that book quick.
Well, listen, we have a lot of listeners. That somebody just may take that. You better trademark that quick.
Honestly.
Seriously.
Do we have any areas around here that trademark?
I have a trademark lawyer.
You know.
You know what?
He's got a Philadelphia lawyer.
I have a Philadelphia lawyer. That's it. I do literally have a Philadelphia
That's
lawyer.
Wonderful.
In
Does
West Philadelphia, born and raised.
I ask everybody this question.
Yeah.
What on your journey of life brought you to Trenton?
This is about to be a life story, but my dad is a refugee from Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to deal with a lot of different hardship to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually when he got here, he migrated to New Jersey with my mom. And then they had me and a bunch of other siblings that I have. I have 7 siblings.
Wow.
And 4 sisters, 3 brothers. You can imagine what it's going to look like tomorrow.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Essentially, I want to be a part of the world. Like, I want to do something really interesting. And when I was in Thailand and I actually interned in Peru, I did a lot of different things in the world. And I was like, there are so many things that I could do. I have a service leader heart. Like, I'm very much into servant leadership and knowing that what you can give is what you should give the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I was like, I don't know exactly what I want yet. And this opportunity of being the TMAC coordinator kind of fell into my lap. And they were like, well, what do you know about Trenton? And it turns out I had gone to Rider for 4 years. And I ended up loving Trenton before then. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to rekindle that love and have a certain leadership outlook on this again. So that's sort of what drew me to Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
But what keeps me staying are the community educators and the community partners that do so much for Trenton.
I like that.
That's so cool.
We find out what brought her here and yet what keeps her here.
Keeps you here, yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you love about it when you were in college?
I actually worked for TASC. I did TASC.
Oh, okay.
Trenaria Soup Kitchen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
A lot of jargon there.
No, that's fine.
But I loved the idea of being in a community where it was much more than what you think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stigma to Trenton,
yeah.
especially in
mm-hmm.
other parts of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I have this sort of weird fight in me that's like, it's so much more. You know, there's so much more to Trenton. And that's what I really saw when I was at TASC. I saw community people. I saw citizens. I saw people that were from outside of Trenton coming in and giving their resources to Trenton.
Sure.
And I think that's really important as well, that people recognize there's a need and they're there for it.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the whole arts crowd at TASC?
Yeah.
The A-team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah,
great work.
Frank is working with them to get their art
getting
out
it
there
sold.
And sold.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is so important because you really need to support artists in the area, especially because that's their livelihood. And as long as you keep the livelihood going, you keep them in a place where they're comfortable and they're doing what they're supposed to.
Right.
Absolutely. Which is really cool.
Yeah. You clearly have a passion for this. It's like oozing out of every pore of your body.
I do.
So what was your major in at Rider?
I was a triple major in political science, American studies, and global studies with a minor in political communication.
Oh, so you're a slacker.
A concentration
I'm already falling asleep.
A certificate.
Gosh.
Are you a firstborn?
I am.
And we're back.
The overachiever, yes.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Frank was the baby, so.
Yeah.
I got left back in fourth grade. I got left back in the eighth grade. By the time I was in junior high school, I quit. I had to get my GED. You take classes to get. I would cut those classes, and I went to UCLA for 5 minutes. UCLA is the university on the corner of Lexington Avenue.
Yeah,
it's called Baruch College. And I went there because my brother was going there, and I just went there to meet him.
Yeah, that was
the
college.
And then you went to the 7-Eleven on the other corner.
Right.
But you know what? Smarty pants. Now I own two companies. So.
And you know what? We all come from somewhere.
That's right. That's okay. Yeah. I'm a firstborn, so I'm a little bit of. I'm also an only child, so first and only.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of both of you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of eight, so it's sort of.
Wow.
Like, it's very
I just said seven.
I'm the eighth. Youngest of eight.
Oh, so you're not the firstborn.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you meant firstborn, like generation. Like I'm the first generation.
Oh, come on. That's such a lawyer thing to say.
Oh, my goodness.
Please.
Actually, I wanted to be a lawyer when I was 13.
Yeah, of course. It shows. It's hilarious. Are you the firstborn? Sure. Yeah, I am. Okay.
Oh, you mean firstborn out of college?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the firstborn
I got British generation and firstborn.
That's all right.
But I'm the youngest, which means I'm the most competitive out of all of us.
Okay.
Oh, so that's hilarious. I love that. Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks here.
Yes.
Mercer Council. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting around at work, and you're like, you know what? I got to get myself on a podcast. And what was that all about? Why?
Okay, I sort of explained this story before, but really it was that reaching out to community partners is sometimes difficult. So you sort of have to keep yourself moving when you're writing emails, making phone calls. And I was like, music's not cutting it right now. I need something a little bit more in the background, but still more stimulating. And I found a podcast about like a week ago on conspiracy theories. And it sort of just led me down this rabbit hole of TED Talks and Crime Junkie. And I've been binging it ever since. And I was like, well, you know what? In order to sort of broadcast the company, in order to understand, for people to understand Mercer Council, let's find something around the area. And that's how I found you guys.
Oh,
very cool.
Thankful that you did.
I am too. And not just for the back scratcher, but for the other stuff, as well
cup.
As now we meet a new friend.
Yes.
And the chapstick.
Mercer Council. What can you say about Mercer Council that maybe people need to know?
It's a lot of stuff we do. We sort of tackle every age group. We go from preschool. I mean, we've done 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, any sort of conversation you can have. The younger you are, the more you can start talking about it in a way that's digestible for them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say, you know, anything about drugs and alcohol necessarily, but it just like making your own choices, understanding your own body, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then moving forward and introducing things to the conversation as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of student services, family services, community outreach. My good friend Brian, who's also a coworker of mine, does ORP, which is a opioid recovery addicts situation.
Mm-hmm. Like dealing with opium?
No, opioids.
Opioids.
Yeah.
Opiates.
Yeah, opiates.
I don't know what that means.
It's a bet. You explain it.
I'm trying to be nice.
I always defer to my wife whenever I have
it's
a question
like,
about it.
Is she like the Google for you?
I'm his Google, but I don't Google. He Googles. And I say, look it up in your Funkin' Wagnall, which,
people
if you're
don't know what
my
that means.
Age, that was encyclopedias.
Really?
So we actually had in my house encyclopedias. So you funk go from A to Z, right?
I know, I was like...
And they were Funk, F-U-N-K,
yeah.
And Wagnalls. And that was also an old laughing. I know you have no idea what I'm talking about
right
now.
She does
but
not,
there's
I do.
Somebody who's born like in the 60s who remembers the show Laughing.
Yeah, right.
And it was this crazy variety show, and they would say, look that up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
Yeah.
And everyone would be like, ah!
It's like you're cursing, but you're not. That's really the name of the
thing. So it's basically Google it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you Google it.
Today.
Yeah.
So he Googles it, but I just say, look it up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
I love that reference. I'm going to use that from now on.
Are you going to remember? Were you even going to remember that?
Yeah. Funkin' Wagnall. I got
yeah,
it.
She's
what
right
did
there.
You just say?
She said it, right?
I don't think she did. I'm going to roll that back. I don't think that she just said it.
Do we have to edit this now?
I might have to. Put that up. Wagnall.
Bleep. Bleep. Oh, my God.
Where were we? You got a lot of notes
yeah,
in front of you.
I do,
And
do.
They're all typed out.
Very organized.
Well, thank you.
Are you going to read
that.
Any of this?
I'm looking, I promise.
She's
I
got
swear.
Her notes. She's got her key notes.
So we have the student services, family services,
okay.
community services,
we're back to Mercer
older
Council.
Adult services. Why we're here.
Yeah, right.
And site-specific services. ORP is one of the programs that does recovery specialists. So these people have to have a certified recovery specialist sort of degree or certificate, sorry, to make sure that they know exactly what the protocol is. They know exactly what they're supposed to do. They're 24 on call. And most of them are part-time that are with us. But let's say, for example, they have like a hospital they're assigned to. Depending on the hours, they may have to go. Mm-hmm. So it really does depend. We cover prevention to after substance use disorders.
Oh, wow.
So everything in between sort of falls in its own
That's
way.
That's such a broad range.
Yes.
So you're talking about prevention even from children, infants almost, and even if you have someone who is recovering and beyond. Wow.
Yes.
That's a huge scope.
Yeah, and it's a 8-week program to 6-month program depending for ORP. They stay with you and they always check up. They always are checking in. And they're really there to make sure that the people that struggle with this are supported. They get the resources they need, and they're also expressing themselves in a way that's comfortable because they're not just there. They're not like anyone that's going to get them in trouble. They're just there to make sure they get what they need, regardless of what it is.
So you're saying it's anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months for the certification?
8 weeks to 6 months for the treatments.
Oh, the treatments.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
Have the recovery specialist, whether or not they stay with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
What's Mercer Council's position on the whole legalization of marijuana?
You know what? That conversation has come up a lot, and it's a valid question.
Of course it's a valid question. I'm asking a question.
I'm validating you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to start saying that to people whenever they ask me anything. You know what? That's a valid question.
I'm not going to answer it, but...
Yeah, but it is valid.
Can you tell I trained in political science?
Yes, absolutely.
She is so not offensive.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Not like you.
No, I don't think I'm offensive. I just
you
know,
can
I just call things
you
out.
You can offend people.
But you know what? Being who you are and being as authentic as possible is still really important anyway.
See what I mean?
Science.
Oh, my God.
Wait, literally.
I can't take this chick. I really can't take it. She's too... Well, you know what? Being an idiot, that's okay. You could be a jerk. That's
you
fine.
You know what? To be honest, I've said that before. in the nicest way possible, but yes.
So anyway.
Anyway, so you're saying it's a valid question about the pot.
It really is.
So what's their deal on that?
What we don't have an official stance on it because there are so many things that are racking out, and New Jersey is one of those. Honestly, it's so interesting being in New Jersey during this time because of the legalization policy coming through, and especially since the state assembly has sort of passed something recently about it. What people look at is the legalization and only the legalization part. Mm-hmm. But if you also look at people that were imprisoned by it, that's also a really important aspect of the policy as well. It's much more of an issue of us saying, let's legalize it or let's not. It's more about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so being as part of Mercer Council, that's not an area that we necessarily work with the same way anybody else does.
Here's why I ask.
Yes.
Because if you're dealing with someone who is addicted to cocaine, I'm sure you've dealt with people who've been addicted to cocaine, right? Which is illegal. Being that marijuana is going to be legalized.
Well, I mean, so is alcohol.
My point is, you know, you could be addicted to sleep aids. It's
still
an addiction.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And that's what Mercer Council, I would think, it focuses on the addiction, not necessarily, was
the
drug legal or not,
right.
Or prevention, right?
Yes.
So that's, I'm just curious, I was just curious about why, you know, would they have a position on that based on what they do?
Yeah, and you know, we have a lot of, in my office, if you ever walk into it, which you can come to my office anytime if you want. Not everyone.
You hear that podcast here? You can come to our office whenever you want.
No.
We're not giving the address away.
That is.
But What it is you walk into my office and there are a bunch of pamphlets on either side. You know, like the wall is just full of stuff. And a lot of it, I mean, a good portion of it is marijuana and how to interact with it. And more so, much like New Jersey has a position, I mean, New Jersey Poison Control has a position on you can call, you can be as high or as, you know, doing things illegally. You just have to make sure that you're safe. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Poison Control's position is on it. And mm-hmm. we sort of refer them to that if they have any questions about much more in-depth technical medical stuff. Mm-hmm. We're not certified medical people that can really go from there.
Gotcha.
So that they're doing illegal stuff, mm-hmm. that's not Poison Control's focus.
No, it is Poison Control's focus. So like in terms of, because you illegal substances are poison to your body.
Of course, right.
If you call them and you say, I just had 7 edibles.
Okay.
Which, I mean, probably shouldn't, but that's really how people are sometimes.
I know I'm being really naive.
Wait, go ahead.
I don't know what an edible is.
Hey, I explained this to you the other day.
You did?
And you went, oh, okay.
I forgot. I probably didn't think it was important at the time.
It's basically a food that has any sort of THC oil in it perpetuates a high of some sort.
Oh, okay. Like gummy bears? Is that like a gummy bear?
Yeah, it can be gummy bears. It can be, I mean, literally anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was totally
wrong. Like brownies.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking a pot brownie. That's an edible.
Yeah, I mean, that's an edible. Yes, it is.
Oh, so it is
an
edible.
But it's one part of the many things that could be.
Okay.
All right, so somebody ate too many brownies.
And then they call and they're panicking and they have medical staff to make sure that these people are okay.
Right.
And so a lot of the time when people ask us that question, it's much less about us understanding what they're asking. It's more about making sure that if they're doing it, they're safe.
Okay, gotcha.
And like it's just a really hard thing to do mm-hmm. because New Jersey's stance is changing on it constantly. Why are you laughing?
Let me tell you why I'm laughing, because I can't get it out of my head. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at my brother when he was a kid. He used to smoke pot, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, great.
In order to hide the pot,
do your parents know this? Well, they don't listen to the show. So.
There's no chance. Anyway, he took his pot, he threw it in my mom's sauce while she was cooking on a Sunday afternoon. The tomato sauce. My father got incredibly high.
Really? That day.
Yes. And he goes, man, this sauce is amazing. This is really good. This sauce is really good. He like finished the pot of sauce that day. Mm-hmm. My mom's sauce became inedible.
Yes.
Right.
I just had that picture in my head. I remember when you said that. And I'm not laughing at you.
No, I get it.
I just can't stop. I'm not going to, I can't hold it. If I can't hold it in, it's coming out. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people don't understand the separation between marijuana THC and marijuana CBD. And there are different strains to it. So CBD is the medical part. THC is the part that gets you high.
Okay.
And so a lot of people, that's kind of where we sort of try to educate that one part and the other part are separate. And getting something off of someone's street corner isn't the same as going to a dispensary and possibly getting something different. Right. So
wow. Okay.
So, but right now in New Jersey, it's illegal still, right?
Yes. Medical, I believe from what I understand right now, it still is for recreational use.
Okay. Yes. Gotcha.
Because I know somebody in Trenton who uses it and it's for medicinal purpose and has like a card.
Medical marijuana is a thing in New Jersey.
So that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know we have the Weed Man Cafe, right?
We do.
Yeah. Don't they do lunch there?
Well, yeah. You know,
the Weed Man's Cafe?
It's Weed Man Cafe.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. It's right across the street from City Hall.
It is literally across the street.
Yes.
Oh, yes. My goodness. I did not realize that.
Yes. The Weed Man Cafe.
Absolutely. I guess I don't look closely.
And apparently the food is really good.
Yes. The food is excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they actually have live music there, too.
Yeah. And they have pot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I've never been there.
The ones they're cooking.
Frank's been there, and I have not. I want to go there. Actually, Trenton Eat Local. That was one of the places they went for dinner.
Really?
Night. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a group that gets together and goes out to eat.
I'm such a big foodie that I like really look at some of like the blogs. And Trenton has such a rich food industry here.
Yes, it really is.
And I'm so excited of the upcoming and new stuff, especially with the introduction of the Hispanic population and how they're really becoming a thing of their own. I'm talking with my hands. becoming a thing of their own, and you know they're starting restaurants, they're establishing themselves more in the community.
Oh my god!
And the carnitas and the tacos and all that stuff. I'm just really excited for that idea.
Yes.
We don't have a Peruvian restaurant though. There are, I think, some of the Hispanic restaurants that have maybe a Peruvian dish. But it's not
Peruvian.
A Peruvian restaurant.
If you go to Newark, there's a restaurant called El Chevre. Mm-hmm. And El Chevre, Chevre. Mm-hmm. My dad painted that restaurant.
Really? Mm. He painted it?
Yeah, he's a house painter.
Oh, he painted. Okay. Oh, I see.
We have
Do you know that place?
No, I don't.
I'm surprised.
I'm not really familiar with Newark all their restaurants. But I remember we went there with our, we have a good friend, Arturo.
He's the head bartender at
Cooper's. He's the head bartender formerly Kathmandu, which is right here in Trenton. And he's from Peru. And he took us to a restaurant in Newark. And we had this chicken with this sauce on it and these potatoes. And oh, my God, it was so good.
Yeah, it just...
That felt good going down. It felt good.
Yeah, so good.
Our sauce is good.
Because when we were in Peru, we stayed in Lima for like one night. We were on a mission trip. So the focus was not about eating out and everything. Mm-hmm. We didn't eat like tourists. Like, we were kind of like, the food was ordered for us by like the head of the group.
By someone who's so not Peruvian.
Right. And he was like, chicken and rice.
Hola, come estas.
No, he was like, we'll just have chicken and rice. Chicken and rice.
I was like, I don't want chicken and rice, man.
Every single day.
There's so much more, I promise.
Well, then we went to a small little village. We stayed in Obenteni.
Pichinaki first, then Obenteni. Yeah. But yeah.
And we had a fly-in on a little plane. And there we had a lot of yuca.
Every
day. Different way. We had every for meal. Breakfast and everything, which was really good. Fried, but then then they had a wedding while we were there. And they buried
a goat
in the rocks, the hot rocks with the leaves. And
cooked it under the ground.
Yeah, my dad did that one snowy day.
So good.
He was like, I'm gonna roast a pig.
Wow.
So it was snowing outside, and he was like, let's do this. I was like, let's not. But
I like your dad. Your dad. Where's your dad? We should have him here. I like that guy already.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Anyway, we digress.
Back to your notes.
We digress.
Oh, she's on page 2 of her notes already. We're getting through this.
I do want to say what our mission statement is. Our mission is to create pathways to reduce substance-related challenges through education, support, advocacy, and partnerships throughout our community.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's simple.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Well, that's part of like what you're doing on the podcast today. This is about making those connections with the community right here.
Yeah, and in its own right, providing resources to anybody that's listening.
Let's say you're a parent and you have a child maybe that's starting grammar school and you're a little concerned and you want to have them have a non-confrontive, non-combative education before they started 8th grade or 7th grade, whatever. Could they reach out to you and say, hey, you know, help my kid?
We're really, our numbers are there for a reason. You call us, we give you resources, we give you hotlines, we give you any information you really need. We have a bunch of pamphlets, as I said before, in my office. But also, it's more like when someone calls, you have to make sure to point them in the right direction. And knowing that we're not always the answer, also, which is really important, too. The Mercer Council is on substance and drug abuse, but we also deal with people who have mental health issues. So we really have different avenues for us. I may not be the person they need to talk to. It could be somebody else. So
you could point them in the right direction.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And our executive director, Jocelyn Cooper, has been doing such a good job really giving out those resources in a way that's effective and is concise. Because a lot of people are kind of pinged around different ways. So when you're given what you need right away, it's really important.
Oh my God, please. Just talking about anything in everyday life, when you call for, you know, you're on the phone like, this is my issue. Oh, wait, you don't have it. Let me put you over here.
Yes.
Oh, let me put you. And then you're explaining it again to the second person. And they're like, oh, no, I don't know why they gave you this number. And then you're explaining it to the third. By then, you're just like, I'm hanging up.
Yep. And then you claw at the walls like a cat because you're just so frustrated.
Right. It's just frustrating and you give up.
We've gotten free stuff from bad customer service.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes, we have. We've
gotten a few free trips.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's because it's in our own right, we are kind of customer service-y, you know, because people come to us because we offer a service.
Right, well.
And to be honest, really what I do and what I think the customer service part of my job is the prevention education piece where I go into schools and I teach different programs based on their year. Let's say it's middle school and high school, it's too good for drugs or life skills. And then you have Footprints for Life, which is kind of like puppets. And
I know.
The puppets are 8 and 9 years old, which is the population that you're talking to. And a lot of them have different issues with them. So one of them, their parents are divorced. One of them, their parent deals with alcohol-related issues. And each of them has something that is sort of relatable about them. And they're all kind of, they're all animals. So we have a fox, we have a raccoon, we have a kangaroo. Yeah.
What's the fox's problem?
She is a princess. Her name's Serena the Fox. I have a voice for her. It's really interesting because Serena the Fox gives into peer pressure. That's like her thing. She wants to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And Ricardo the raccoon is sort of someone who is kind of childish and doesn't know how to, you know, be himself yet. Mm-hmm. And he lives in a one-parent household. And it's something that he has to deal with because he had to move away from his dad. Mm-hmm. And there are a bunch of stories that are there too as well. And they're all on a soccer team, and Katrina the kangaroo is the coach, and she talks about
I love this.
It's pretty great, honestly. It's really not that bad, but her background is that she had substance abuse issues when she was younger. And when she was in college, and she lost her soccer scholarship, and she decided to go to a community college and teach soccer. And that's sort of the basis for the scripts, I suppose.
Interesting.
And each lesson is a different thing. So one is making decisions, one's peer pressure, one is, say, I mean, tobacco and what it can do to you, things like that. So it's kind of silly, but it has a message, which is kind of nice. Yeah. And you read the script, and the kids, like, play with the puppets as you're reading the script. So, like, they act as each puppet, and then they talk and do the actions of the puppet.
So it's not a people doing a puppet show. It's the kids are actually
participating.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
And they
cool.
wind up learning through it themselves.
Yeah.
You ever had a problem with peer pressure? You ever given to peer pressure as a kid?
Occasionally, but it wasn't a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I don't think I did.
What were some things you had to deal with?
You're putting me on the spot.
I'm thinking of these animals. You know.
It's sort of weird when you kind of relate to a fox, but it really is too, you know.
My parents were together. I was an only child.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you do drugs?
No, I didn't.
Really?
No. I wasn't interested.
You were a latchkey kid, though.
Yeah, but I liked it.
What's a latchkey kid?
Wow!
Another first. Like 60s, woo! 70s reference? Yeah.
This is awesome.
Back in like...
What's a latchkey kid?
I'm learning.
The late 60s and 70s when moms were working, kids had to come home by themselves. So they would call them latchkey because I had a key. For my house. I lived in an apartment, so I had a key to get into the apartment and get into the actual upstairs apartment. And my mother wouldn't come home until 5 o'clock, and my father would come home a little after that. So I was alone from 3 o'clock till whenever.
Gotcha.
So I was a latchkey kid.
Okay. But today they call that abuse. Or negligence.
No. Well,
yeah, it's like negligent.
I did that as a little kid, like... I think I was walking home from school. I was 9.
Yeah, that's negligence today. That's negligence.
I didn't know it. So I was okay. I was fine. I watched cartoons. I made myself something to eat.
Today they have PSAs. Is your child a latchkey kid? It's like, if he is, call Mercer Council and see what they have to say. You know, I don't know, something like that.
We'll probably do a puppet show for
him. Yeah. Larry the latchkey kid. And he's like,
you can add him into the repertoire.
Lion. Larry the latchkey kid.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I'm also known as the puppet lady whenever I walk in. So.
You look like you could be the puppet lady.
To be honest.
You have one of those looks.
Wow, I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing.
I don't know what that looks like. It's a good thing.
She reminds me of Erin so much.
It's one of the worst and best things about doing the job that I do. Mm-hmm. The fact that kids recognize me for that.
Aww, I think that's great.
It actually is a thing.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, the puppets. And I'm like, no.
They'll know that they're engaged if they're looking forward to that, right?
Yeah. I think Larry should be a possum. Make him a Trenton character. Yeah.
Well, they're all kind of Trenton-esque in the...
So you need a possum then. You need a possum.
Why, Trenton possum?
I was thinking of...
That should be the city animal, the possum.
Why, because we have a lot of them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We had three of them under our porch. One was dead. The other two were mourning it, remember?
Yeah, they were sitting shiver.
They were Jewish possums. They were sitting shiver over this possum.
Well, no, the dead body wouldn't be there.
That's right. They were part Irish.
But they were... Yeah, it was a dead... We found it because... We didn't actually find it. We smelled it.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad.
Brutal. That
was
harsh.
I'm like, what is that smell? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe a mouse died in the vent. And I'm like, and then I think you found a mouse. And you're like, oh, I found it.
Yeah.
I know what it
is. Wasn't it?
And I'm like, it's getting worse.
Yeah. It was horrible.
It's getting really worse.
And then you found the two possums and the other one.
Under the porch.
Well, the guy that came to remove the dead one. He goes, yeah, there's a dead possum here. And when he went down there and I looked with him, there were two possums with their back to him. And when he shined the light on them, they turned their head, looked at him, and turned back to look at the dead possum. Like they weren't even moved.
Yeah, they just were sitting by the dead one.
Like they were mourning it. It was like, oh, that's kind of sweet, but all right, get rid of them now.
But when he did, he didn't hurt them. He just removed them and removed the dead
one. He relocated them.
Yes, yes. But anyway, again.
Thank you so much for that story. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
So you need to add a possum to your
Possum. And call him Larry the possum. Don't do a P name. Just to confuse everybody.
Just because.
You had said something about language before.
Mm-hmm. I know that everyone's headed toward the holidays, and sometimes you sit around and you see your family, and you might be the one who has a substance use disorder. You might know someone that has one. But the point is that you can't look at them and say, oh, you're a druggie. You're an addict. You're someone that's like that. Because changing the language changes how people perceive themselves. And I think a couple of times I've corrected myself because you're so used to hearing it certain ways. Mm-hmm. And then you just sort of have to integrate it into how you talk to other people. Mm-hmm. Because what you say, people see themselves as. Regardless of whether it is, you know, if you have someone that struggles with any sort of substance use, you can say, I have a relative that has a substance use disorder. And it just sort of changes the language, and it also helps them. I mean, it also kind of gives a perception of I'm getting help medically for a disorder rather than I'm going to rehab because I'm an addict.
Right.
Which
right.
has a different connotation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it sort of is much more empowering the way that you say it.
Sure.
Yeah, because words, remember they used to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And that's so not true.
No, it's not.
Words are really damaging.
Yes.
Because those words, like if you get hit with a stick or a stone, you will...
You have a bruise.
Yeah, you have a bruise or a cut and then
break
you heal.
A bone. Yeah.
But when you get those words into your mind, they repeat and repeat and repeat. And then they come almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful how you speak about yourself and how you speak to others, too.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as calling someone anything in particular unless you ask them first, you know. And I also think that's part of the conversation.
Right.
That what are you most comfortable with? Mm-hmm. Which I think is that conversation needs to happen first. But also, for some people, they started doing something, had a substance abuse disorder because of things that were going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
Having the holidays around, some people aren't always happy to go home.
Right.
So we also, just in case anyone was looking for resources, if you go on our website, mercercouncil.org, we have two buttons. One is for go to the website. One is for am I in a crisis?
I saw that. I was curious about that.
Yeah. So you click in a crisis, and it has a bunch of hotlines and a bunch of numbers and a lot of certain people that you can contact from the Mercer Council.
Very cool.
Oh, this is good. It's coming at this time of year.
Yeah, yes. Especially
and
now.
And it's there all the time. It's there for anybody, and it's there for any person that really needs that resource.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say an ideal referral for Mercer Council would be?
In terms of?
Yeah, because it's not like a business. Like,
It certainly is.
They want to go out of business, if anything. They don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, they don't want to. Oh,
like,
Bill,
if I meet somebody.
Business is booming. That's not what they want. They want to. If they got put out of business, that would be great. Like, you know what?
So, how's Mercer Council doing? Great.
Nobody's
We're doing terribly. That's wonderful.
What I'm saying is, I meet somebody and I think, you know what? Mercer Council can help this person.
Okay.
What's the ideal referral in that sense?
Well, how do you even broach that with someone?
Say, hey, you got to call Mercer Council.
If they're dealing with something. And they
I'm
share
just saying,
that.
Yeah, in, just in layman's terms, what would be a good referral for Mercer Council for me if I meet somebody and I have that thought, Mercer Council, I think, can help their situation.
And you know what? The thing about us is that if we don't have the answers, somebody else in the council does. So we have a number, and then obviously we have extensions. So if you call the front desk and they're like, I have this sort of problem, Lisa, love you, Lisa, if she's at the front desk, she'll give the person that is needed most to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what it is, you're going to get a referral from someone.
24/7?
Mercer Council is only open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
So if I have a situation, I gotta hope it's before 5 p.m.
Well, not necessarily. The website itself has 24-hour hotlines and 24-hour resources.
Okay, beautiful.
So it's not just like, it's after 5 o'clock, sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
So I ain't getting Lisa at 2 in the morning.
Your crisis means nothing to me. It's more like, it's more like, here's the hotline, here's what you can do, here are the resources.
So they can go online and hit that I'm in a crisis button.
Yeah, right. And then they have a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so what else you got?
Okay, so imposter syndrome is basically you're at the same level playing field as everyone else, but you feel like you don't deserve to be there.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, because you feel like you're an imposter. You feel like somehow someone overlooks my name and I'm at this award show, but I'm not actually supposed to be here.
Oh. Kind
of so you feel like you're a fake.
Yeah, almost.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking I'm somewhere and I'm like, that guy's an imposter. That's what I thought you meant, imposter syndrome.
He's saying he's Frank Sasso. That's not Frank Sasso.
Clearly. Frank Sasso, that's not him.
He's got a full head of hair.
Yeah. Well, I had a full head of hair. That's how when we met, that's what she liked about me.
Oh, wow.
I had some awesome happening hair.
Yes, he did.
Happening hair.
Yeah, it was happening.
Was it in like the 80s when you lost it?
That's really none of your business, but yes.
I just heard it and I was like, yep, that's 80s.
What's the matter? You can dish it out?
Nah, sometimes I can't take it. I'm a little sensitive. Maybe I have maybe I need Mercer counsel.
Yeah. Well,
maybe I have an
I
issue.
I got the paper right here.
Well, maybe you should lead that. I'm going to call Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
Oh, goodness. So let's get back to that.
All right, so imposter syndrome. Yeah, I don't feel like I belong.
Yeah, kind of. And a lot of the time, especially being someone who is in charge of like almost the whole town in its own sense, Mercer Council has county coordinators from every town. So Plainsboro, Princeton, Lawrenceville, they all have someone that works with these programs. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, I'm sort of in Trenton, but I don't feel like I should be at the same playing field as people that are doing really awesome things in Lawrenceville.
Oh, it's that kind of a range? Really?
A lot of people have more experience. There are people that have been in this industry for a very long time, and you sort of just enter and you're like, I have the same position as them, but I am far less experienced and I have far less to sort of offer in terms of the knowledge that I have.
Okay, so this is more about like working and...
Right? Yeah, in its own right, because Mercer Council is so tiny that a lot of the time, especially in our own language, we have 24 employees. We started off with 12. 6 years ago. So obviously we've grown and doubled since then, but to a lot of people, especially the people, the OGs, it's very tiny still.
Original gangster.
Thank you. I'm like...
I knew it. I knew it. I know my wife.
Wow. I didn't even... That's so funny.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, gosh.
Where was I was so attractive to her just now. I'm telling you.
She's just like, wow.
She's like, oh my God, I love
you're
that
my
man.
Hero.
Two words and that was it.
Go ahead.
We're such a small organization that, you know, you'd think that other organizations do so much more than we do, but we have so much reach, so many programs that we sort of forget that we have a lot more influence than we think we do. And I think also, especially with my position, I can't have imposter syndrome mm-hmm. because I always have to do something. There's always something that I have to be doing in order to fulfill the requirements for my position. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't have time to think about anybody else. I don't have time to compare my programs to anyone else. Mm-hmm. I have to have hope in what I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just sort of the weird transition of, you know, we're small, but we're actually not.
I see.
Well, I think it's amazing what you're doing because this is not your work time. This is you doing something because you're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. So you felt this would be a good way to get the word out about something you feel is really important. So for you, this is not like I punch my clock at 9, I leave at 5, and I'm done. You clearly are invested in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of tabling events. So if you, Trunk or Treat was a big one. Mm-hmm. We're at a lot of the Trunk or Treats.
Oh, you do one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was the Spanish dancer.
Okay. Ah.
The Spanish dancing puppet lady.
I did bring a puppet.
Of course you did. Of course. Why wouldn't you?
He kind of handed out the candy.
Oh, I know someone who doesn't have imposter syndrome. Hey, can you have imposter syndrome? And I don't mean this as a joke. I really mean this.
Yeah.
Can someone suffer from imposter syndrome in a marriage?
Kind of.
I think so.
Yes, because you feel like you're not good enough for the other
exactly.
person. And actually, studies show that people who feel like they're not good enough for each other,
yeah.
their relationship is longer to last.
Wait a minute. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing at them? Why did you laugh at them?
Open anything up.
No, actually you did by bringing that stupid paper
you
with you.
Brought it up.
No, well, I want to know because she said, oh, imposter syndrome. Like, this is something Mercer Council deals with people coming in. Hey, I got imposter syndrome. Can you help me?
No, that's not.
Because my wife
it's not a sickness.
Was basically what we call a beyond human. A beyond human is someone who's like kind of born with a boyfriend, like they're totally on the And then there are stupors, and stupors. They're like just
this
blow
is
by
Frank's
you.
Measuring system
yeah,
for when
just,
he was
like,
in high school.
There is no scientific backing.
But then she went back to a beyond human, which is unprecedented. So sometimes I feel like, I hope she never wakes up and realizes, who was this idiot?
You're like, wow, who's sleeping next you know, to me?
Exactly,
right now?
Exactly.
So he has to try harder.
I have to try real hard. We're married. We're going to be married 23 years in a couple of months.
Thank you.
That's a long time.
Yes. Well, and we've known each other since 1986.
So. When I had happening hair in the
80s. In the happening hair.
I had happening hair. You never heard that reference?
No, I definitely did, which is why I used to watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And
there we go. That was there. Just talking about that today.
Yes.
Weird. So I'm just wondering, can someone suffer from imposter syndrome just in like a group of friends or like on a baseball team or whatever, you know, marriage, you know?
Yeah. And that's also why some people sort of transition themselves into substance related things because they're like, I'm not good enough. I just, wherever I am, the success I have, I don't deserve this. And it really, that's what it's about. It's saying like, do I deserve this? Do I not?
Right.
And it's constantly in your head answering that kind
of
question.
From not knowing who you are.
Yes.
That's really
pretty much,
that's really
yes.
what it comes down to.
Yeah, and to be honest, Mercer Council, because of our mission statement, because of so many people that are involved, we don't have that, even though some people might think that we do just because there are so many other organizations that sort of do what we do.
Oh, I see.
So I have another name for imposter syndrome.
What?
Identity crisis.
Kind of, yes. Mm-hmm. You don't know who you are. You're kind of like, what am I doing here?
Right, yeah. Because if you feel like you're not good enough in a situation, and you're there, you got there, how'd you get there?
Yeah, really.
You know, so, yeah.
Right, because you're an imposter. That's the only logical...
You left the R off. Like a New Yorker
I hope everyone's
would.
Not listening to
a
this.
A New Yorker would.
New Yorker.
New Yorker.
Too many New Jersey people are going to comment on that.
Hey, podcaster already knows we don't care. All right? We really don't care. You have an internet connection and a keyboard. It does not mean now you're an expert.
Honestly, yeah, you're correct.
Right. We're in this review-driven society. Are you good with your paperwork there, Ruth? Any other pressing information we need to know?
Did you hear that?
I don't know, Ruth. You seem really relaxed.
Yeah, really? She's almost too relaxed. It's a little unnerving.
Like you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, she comes in. She goes, oh, hi. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I'm Frank. Oh, Ruth, I bought you guys some gifts. Can I put this down here on the table? She starts unloading this bag full of stuff.
Loved
boom,
it.
Boom, boom. And I'm like, yeah, bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
Like having you here. It's very
good.
Well,
we brought her in because she sounded so much more professional on the phone. She really did.
Wow.
That's why. And now.
Because now it's just a free for all.
Yeah, now we're just going at it. Whatever. Boom,
oh,
boom,
God.
Boom.
Now we're friends, so like.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good.
It's really weird to like come up with the community partners that you're going to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of also thought of this as like a PSA that was like, if there are any community partners that are interested in looking at the mission of Mercer Council and if we sort of match it to some level that they could reach out to us, just because it's one, the worst part about marketing is making that connection because no one ever calls back besides you guys.
What are you talking about?
I find that to be true. People don't call back.
That's not true.
What do you mean? People call
the
back?
The people that don't call back are not the people you need to be dealing
well,
with.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
All
I
right.
appreciate that. Yes, yeah.
Right.
But to be honest, it can be very difficult to coordinate and exchange numbers and have that kind of conversation. So when that's already established and, you know, like using this as a place where people can sort of do that and reach out to us and know that we exist is also really important. Because we work with a lot of different organizations, specifically UIH, Family Partners, Trenton Free Public Library. They do slam poetry there.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
You know, and so it's just like there's a lot of different stuff there that, you know, even if there's an art program or anything that we could sort of help with in wellness, then we should still be there because we're meant to be there. You know?
Well, so you're looking for a partner to where you could go in and you can do a puppet show or do a talk. By partner, you mean somewhere you can go and educate.
Yeah, okay. I mean, any place that sort of is like, we need you, or any place that's sort of like, let's do this.
She's talking about places like Sprouts. Have you heard of Sprouts?
No, I haven't. What's Sprouts?
Oh,
Sprouts is this, it's called Sprouts U University. Okay. It is an amazing education institute. Actually, some of the kids are going to be performing at the McCarter Theater doing a Christmas carol. They performed at the Trenton Pork Roll Festival.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. It's all ages. And the woman, Danielle, who runs it, is a little powerhouse.
They were just at the Apollo Theater. They were just at the Apollo Theater. Awesome. Yeah, big time.
The kids are fantastic. They're just so alive and engaged and dynamic. So that's just off the top of my head when you said that that would be somebody maybe you could reach out to.
And I think it's very empowering, especially when you look at children, which is really the population I work with the most. Mm-hmm. Because I do speak Spanish, I work with the Hispanic population as well. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of translating for documents and things mm-hmm. like that when it comes to education. But mm-hmm. It's sort of like there's this scientific fact that's like your DNA can go back and forth to Jupiter 10 times.
Yeah, 10 times. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you are not small nor insignificant. Mm-hmm. You're just very well folded. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like putting that empowerment into children mm-hmm. to make them seem as if they know who they are. They mm-hmm. know what they're talking about. The prevention education helps with that process. Mm-hmm. And especially working with teachers. I also work with Isles.
Marty.
You know Isles?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know Marty?
I know Kep.
Oh, because Marty just retired.
Yeah.
That's why he
doesn't know. So Kep is the person. But mm-hmm. the thing about this job is that you see the direct difference. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no waiting. There's no anything. The input is the output. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a direct feedback loop, which that's sort cool. of mm-hmm. is like a direct satisfaction, which mm-hmm. is, in our culture, is like really important to have this type of job, especially for millennials. Because you're just like, this is direct, this is instant, right. you know, that kind of thing. But it's also, in its own way, a sort of really nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have, like, yearly, like, dinners and things?
Well, we actually have PCMC, which is the Prevention Coalition of Mercer County. And we have it once a month. And any community partners in Mercer County that are looking to help our initiative can come. Mm-hmm. You can be a part of the email list. You can come once a year. You can come once a month. It doesn't matter. You're there. You get the emails. You're at least on the email list.
The food there?
Yes, actually.
Frank will be there.
I'm going to fill him in with the bagels. really, you know, we had oatmeal last time because it was really cold.
Oatmeal is not a draw. Really?
We also had fresh.
Hey, we're going to have oatmeal. Well, count me in.
The draw is supposed to be the meaning, not the food.
Okay.
It was brown sugar oatmeal. Thank you very much.
Brown sugar.
Maple brown sugar.
Not like a little packet. I can add my own water.
Quaker.
Yeah.
It was.
I like the draw. It's the meaning. Be honest, you're gonna have food, people are gonna come out of the woodwork.
Yeah,
that's how you do it.
We have our holiday breakfast coming up next week or the week after.
Oh, okay.
And what do you have in there?
And people, wow.
Like, maybe I'll come. What do you have?
You wanted to be on this podcast. You reached out to us.
I did.
We didn't bang down your door.
I mean, poor ginger ale.
Oh, God.
But it's going to be, we're going to bring people in. PCMC is for everybody that wants to have it.
Okay.
And we also have like presentations there too, so people can really learn about what's going on.
Oh, all right.
Sometimes it can be really hard because we talk about serious things. We talk about overdoses. We talk about deaths. We talk about how things are different now. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of hope there because people are so passionate about what they're doing.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a downer. This episode, I really did.
I
didn't want to say anything. Oh my God, what are we going to talk about?
I was like, how are we going to frame this? You know?
We went in a totally different direction.
Really did.
All about fun. All
right, so.
Where do they find you? Where do they experience all things Mercer Council online?
Literally our website, mercercouncil.org. You can find all of us on there. We also have a blog, which the podcast is actually going on the blog. We'll give the link to that.
Oh, you're
going to
link it there. Good for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you can maybe get new visitors to your site as well.
Hey, that'd be cool.
And so we have a blog of things going on. We have our contacts under there too. So Barbara Spreckman, who's in charge of PCMC, she puts you on the contact list as soon as you fill out the paperwork. And you can come whenever you want. Okay. You know?
So we're going to put your information on our website as well. Okay. So
MercerCouncil.org, 609-396-5874. The information's on the website, TrentonWaves.com, underneath Ruth Delpino's picture.
Thank you for having me, first of all. I had a good time.
We had a great time.
You know what? Sometimes, like, the work week is really stressful, and you just sort of try something different, and this was the something different.
Cool.
So that's kind of cool.
Good.
And, you know, just, I guess, to people out there, like, be safe. Mm-hmm. Make your own decisions. Make sure they're informed decisions. Mm-hmm. And Mercer Council, if you're in Mercer County, is here for you.
That's nice.
Very good. So, I ask this of all our guests. Yes. If you could imagine your dream trend, what would it look like?
I think from what I do, a lot of it deals with accountability. So my perfect Trenton would be a place where everyone is accountable for each other and themselves. And then everything else kind of falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's me.
That's a good answer, and it ties into what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Will Delpino, thank you for joining us today. But until next time, this has been another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.